Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.
The best Cork sporting action at the weekend.
One goal to win the title. It's as simple as that.
Can you believe this?
Have you ever seen a try like that?
The Big Red Bench.
On Cork's
Red FM.
Well, welcome along to the Big Red Bench here on Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next hour. And Cork have pulled off a famous victory after beating Donegal in Ballybuffet to send themselves into the All-Ireland quarterfinal. Who would have thought? A huge congratulations from all of us to the team on Red FM. They beat out the All-Ireland runners-up 17 points to 113. An incredible victory for all involved. And here to us to talk about the game was Jonathan Higgins of Off the Ball. All right, we're delighted to be joined here on the Big Red Bench by Jonathan Higgins, who was there in Ballybuffet for a famous Cork victory for Off the Ball as the Cork footballers ran out 17 points to 113 winners. Jonathan, safe to say, are you surprised by that result? I know I certainly am anyway.
Yeah, I think even the most red-tinted Cork supporters, well, as much as they would have believed, like, even just the logistics of getting here. I know the team got the flight up this morning, but trying to get that long journey up, the flight to Derry and an hour across on road, it's still a daunting challenge. You go in there and you saw how good that, and if you want to use the Kerry games as barometers, both sides, even just basic maths, isn't it? Sporting maths, that doesn't always add up. The Munster final defeat, and then the flip side of that, the demolition really by Donegal of Kerry in round one. Like, you throw all those in and it's a new occasion here in Ballybuffet. I'm still here looking out of it. It is a beautiful, beautiful surface. I'd say 98% of it was full of loud, vocal Donegal supporters, but it was the pocket of sport. We're down to our right there, starting to hear the rebels, and they all gathered. A beautiful scene, actually, a couple of moments ago there. They all gathered outside the dressing room as the players got on. They're going back for a bite to eat in Letterkenny, but there's the rebels was being shouted high into the Donegal sky here as well, and it is one of those wow, you had to be there sort of scenarios. Mad game, really, Dan. Like, we were joking here in the press box. I think the best description I can give of it is it reminded me of a game before the FRC changes. The game plan was set up. I don't think the game plan, even just the Cork backroom staff and Kevin Walsh and all these backroom analysts and everything, were set up just beside us. So you got to hear a bit of a bird's eye a view of them. They weren't particularly happy at times, but of a lack of penetration, really, if you want to call it that, in terms of the setup. But what happened was the first half was pretty much huge pockets and huge phases of Cork possession. Donegal sitting in the zonal defence, Cork playing on the outside of it, didn't really have, like, they had another couple of moments here or there that could have really done significant damage, but they didn't really. And you know, they got butchered then on the breakaway. Donegal, when they break, particularly in the first half, they were just blistering on the counter-attack. Gallen was good. Conor Ford, I think he finished up with four in the end. And the Cork goal that they conceded in the first half, oh, it was a real sucker punch. Initially a kick out was very well worked to Tommy Walsh, but he got his pocket picked by Michael Murphy, who fed Conor O'Donnell. That gave the opening goal. That scribbles the notes here back in the 24th minute. So it felt like one of those, as a huge roar from the Donegal faithful. It was nearly another goal a couple of seconds later, really, but Murphy made a bags of trying to punch into a relatively open goal. It should really have been a second goal. And even despite that, Cork, just as the hooter was about to hit for half time, I think it was Luke Fahey from over on that right hand side through a crowd of bodies, like, poked one just into the side netting on the stroke of the hooker at half time to try and paint the picture then for I know the many people that weren't able to see this game. It was 5-point advantage for Donegal, and like, we were joking here that, you know, maybe it's just as well that people can't see this. The game was that stale. It was so flat. It was really, really flat, despite the packed stadium here as well. Biggest crowd in 20 years, they say here as well. But it was so flat because that's the way the game went. And even then, after half time, Murphy gets one straight away. Langan gets another. And Gallen gets another. And, you know, but 10 minutes into the second half, it's 110 to 9 points in favour of Donegal. And you think, I've seen this movie before. But there was an incident with Michael Murphy where, very similar to the league final, his hand strayed and, for me, looked like a fairly straightforward red card. yeah, well, like, he's a very good player, but we have seen this. I think the players beside us were, the lads beside us were saying, like, it's something we've seen before. But if anything, it seemed to spark Cork into life rather than the other way around.
around. And I'm actually surprised that Jim McGuinness didn't take Murphy off, because he was involved in another incident a couple of minutes later, maybe about 5-10 minutes later, where there was another huge roar. But it seemed to just spark Cork into life. And look, Sherlock got two pointers in the first half. Like, he really is a 2-point machine. One from play, which was just hovering on the arc. Some of us weren't sure if he was actually inside or not. And then certainly one that was the 2-point free just before half time. He gets another one after half time. And then there's a score in the 55th minute from Ian Maguire, the captain of the side. And that, to me, as he turned around and swung it over, it was kind of one of those where, oh, Jesus, this might actually happen here sort of scenario, because prior to then, I won't lie, I hadn't any tangible thoughts that this shock might happen. And then, like, you saw this absolutely 2 and 2 minutes, 61st, 67th minute, Luke Fahey from downtown, 2-pointer, and Tommy Walsh on a breakaway, a turnover outside of the boot effort. I'm not sure if the John Cleary interview has gone back to base yet, but there's a very funny line in it where he's like, I've been warning all the time not to go outside of the boot, but he did and it went over. So those 2-pointers in 2 minutes really swung the game around. That one from Tommy Walsh with 8 minutes to go put Cork into the lead for the first time. Now, there was a quick response from Donegal to tie up the sides, only for the second time. And then Sherlock had a 2-point free. It was one of those scenarios where the players didn't get out of the way in adequate time. It was brought forward the 50 metres, but he had the Cronus to bring the ball back outside, win for the 2-pointer. Again, another interesting line when I spoke to him afterwards. He said, we didn't come up here just to get a 1-pointer. He had the courage to come out and the conviction, nailed it. And that put Cork in the lead. Now, actually, that was, with 5 minutes to go, was Cork's last score. But they really butchered another couple of opportunities. Another one that came back off the post. But they did see it out. And then you had almost a bizarre scenario at the end where Donegal are 2 points down and they're on the attack on the right-hand side. The clock is taken away. It's about 30 seconds. You know, it's either a green or an orange flag, and they're almost inside the 21 at this side. They work it across, and Turlough Carr, the youngster, blazed the ball over the bar. And then, with 10 seconds to go, you knew that was it, and there was just euphoric scenes. And it wasn't quite the Jose Mourinho and the Nou Camp where the sprinklers come on, but the PA system, God love them. One of the locals here who remain nameless said it was the most strongest performance of the second half was from the PA system, trying to get that group of supporters, and these are hardcore supporters that made this trip up as well, the extended staff and all the players and everything. It was just a beautiful sight in the centre circle, or not quite the centre circle, around the middle of the pitch there as well. It did, despite the appeals were on deaf ears, rebels seemed to be chanted back. But it's one of these wow moments. I think anybody, look, we as well spoken about that fact that it hasn't been on TV. Anyone that's catching in radio or getting in updates here and there, and they saw that notification on the phone, would go, wow, Christ. But what it does mean now is Cork are back in Croke Park. And that is a huge turn of events. And then, most importantly then as well, Dan, they have the opportunity now next week to rest up, get things right, get the injuries. Colin McCallum will be back, I believe, come back into the scenario, watch and scout the eye as much as possible across the round three games, and they know they will be playing one of those teams in Croke Park the weekend after next. So it's a huge task from dealing with the logistics of trying to get up and down the plane and back, and to potentially being out the road on Saturday again. Now it's at a minimum it's going to be Saturday week. It changes the course of the dynamics of Cork's summer completely around. And then the flip side of that is Donegal have to go back to the well. And I know I spoke to Jim McGuinness afterwards as well, and he referenced, look, we've had less games in Ulster, so probably neutralises that. I think that's a glass half full mentality. I think it is going to be a big kick in the teeth to come back. You would anticipate that they will win no matter who they play, but it's not ideal going from week to week to week. Like, they're potentially going to be 3 weeks out in a row if they were to be victorious next week. But like, this is all about Cork. This is all about the victory statement. Like, I was in Parky Rin 2 years ago when they did it. That was a bit of a shock. This is off the scales, really. To do it here in the manner that they did it is just a special. And there's another rebel shout as the bus is making its way. There we go. Yeah, as they head for Letterkenny and to get a bite to eat before they get the plane back down tonight. I think 40 minutes. So I think it'll be a joyful 40 minutes for John Cleary inside. But Dan, what a victory for Cork. Just phenomenal stuff, really. What are these situations where you're privileged to be here in a situation like that? I won't lie, you hear the drive, you're thinking about the drive up the road this morning, oh God. But yeah, you see something on the rebels, the sirens are going. It's a special day to be Corkonian.
How good was Stephen Sherlock? People are saying, coming off the back of it, that he's basically guaranteed himself an All-Star, well, at least nomination, but probably an All-Star as a whole.
Yeah, a little bit early to have the All-Star conversations, because there's so much football to be played and so much top-heavy football as well, but he's certainly in that conversation right now. It was a very polished display and a very mature display from today, because literally, I think he would have gone in at half-time, even at full-time, and would have checked his Brendan McCall not there. Even when Stephen was hovering well outside the two-point arc, out around the 45, there's one incident in the second half that strikes in my mind, and Cork, something they did very well is they pushed so many players inside on the overload, inside the full first line of the press, so it meant then that they can get the guys, the shooters, just to be hovering a little bit out of it. Made life very, very difficult, and Donegal spent a lot of time scampering around him, but McCall was shadowing him. Even he was looking at, he was completely taking himself out of the game. He was literally, I'm tagging him and that's it. So there was a couple of moments where he just had to kind of hold off, put the handbrake on and stay away from the football and then zip. But you know, huge, like the sharpshooter, and you know, with and against the there's a little bit of a breeze here as well. Both ends of the pitch, he raised orange flags. Which probably tells you everything. Like, he's just one of these really sweet strikers of a football. Polished display. Like, at times you wouldn't say he's the primary ball winner inside. Just, it wasn't that type of game. There was so many slow transition attacks. Now, Cork did pick up the pace a good bit significantly in that third quarter when they got a grip, really, of the game. Because you look at it here, that is between the 54th and the 65th minute. So 11 minutes of football, and there's three two-pointers and two efforts from play. I'll let you do the maths. That's without reply. That's where that game was won, and Sherlock was certainly a key component of that.
From hearing all the interviews after, and only about 2 minutes left for it to be live on air, but do you get the sense that they can go on and push on? Because this quarter-final thing was kind of, you'd say, a goal. Do you get the sense that maybe now they can start to dream, they can go a little bit further?
Look, it's going to be a difficult challenge no matter who they play. You look at some of the teams that are potentially in round three next weekend. Obviously, we have to wait to see how tomorrow goes as well. Look, consistency is always going to be the thing, really, isn't it? Because it's the bane of Cork football and supporters' lives, really, isn't it? Over the years, they've had these moments and they haven't really pushed on. But you have to look at the development of this year yet again. Promotion eventually, which I think is so, so important to get out of Division 2, to be playing Division 1 teams for that early part of the year, it will really, really push Cork on as well. But yeah, and the quarterfinal is a huge occasion. I'm sure the support, John Cleary and his staff, he spoke about how he could name the people that are here. I think they might want to try and get a portion of the Hurling supporters as well up to GHQ as well, and because this is a fantastic side, and I'm speaking this with no skin in the game, a complete neutral, but like I'm sure if they could get a chunk of that support on, like, it would be a special occasion going forward. And look, they will be a challenge for any team because they're set up so well, so disciplined. The game plan can be there for large periods, and more. Most importantly, they have two-point threats, which are absolutely key in the middle of the game. Getting O'Callaghan back now as well in the middle of the field will be huge going forward. They will need him going forward as well. There's a lot of tools in the box here of the right variety. I suppose it's Bodoona now in Crow Park, and it's a huge opportunity ahead.
Okay, Jonathan Higgins, thanks so much for painting the picture for us of everything that happened in Ballybuffet. Jonathan, a pleasure. Thanks so
no
much.
No worries. Enjoy. Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right, well, we're going to hear from one of the heroes now who got us the victory, and here is Cork forward Stephen Sherlock.
Stephen, it's safe to say that's a very special day for your side in Cork football.
Yeah, look, unbelievable day. Draw very, very special. You see all the, what it means to everybody there. What it means to everybody there on the pitch and everything like that. Like, you know, so, but what it means to us as a group as well is very special. You know what I mean? So, yeah, we're delighted.
I think someone's listening to the football pod over there. Predictions can only come back to haunt you.
Yeah, look, I suppose that's the media really, like, isn't it, Joe? But look, topsy-turvy, but look, yeah, we're delighted.
A huge statement in the fact, you know, like, any win is big at this stage of the year, but to do it here as well, the new pitch has opened up, and for large periods, Donegal had that little bit of buffer between the sides.
Yeah, look, to be honest, Donegal are a fantastic side, like, you know, they're favourites for the All-Ireland, they're favourites for a reason, like, you know what I mean? So we know we had to be 110% coming up here today, like, you know, and I think we really kind of thundered into it there in the fourth quarter. Like, you know, like, there was hunger, there was balls there to be won with breaks and everything. Lads put their bodies on the line, and then we ended up getting the scores as a result then, like, you know. So look, there's huge belief there now, and we're just delighted to be in a quarter final.
Yeah, that third quarter onwards, you could see the game went from being maybe a little bit topsy-turvy to you really put the foot down. Did you really start to believe then?
Yeah, 100%. Like, you know, we spoke about it at half time, like, you know, with Donegal, like, people would think that, like, 6 points up Donegal, that people would throw in the towel. Like, we didn't throw in the towel at all. We thought that we were well in the game. We thought we played very well at, as well. And we knew full well, coming down the stretch like that, that we'd have in the legs and we'd have it in the mind as well to push on.
Talk to me about the last free there as well. There was a lot on it.
Oh, there was a lot on it as well. Well, the one I missed, nor the one I scored as well. So, there's I missed one there at the end that I normally put over, like, you know what I mean? So there was a bit of pressure there for the last 2 minutes.
Talk about the one that is put over the way.
Yeah, look, to be honest, it was brought in for one, and I said, like, look, we're up in Donegal, we might as well take it over for two and have a crack off it. Like, you know, these days don't come around that much, and that opportunity doesn't come around. So there was no way I was putting it in for one. Like,
as a, you know, you're such a long range shooter, so accurate with the boot. This modern game of the two pointers, it really suits you personally down to the ground.
Yeah, look, I suppose, like, that's the joy of the game as well. Like, there's different aspects of it, like, you know, there's different ways of playing forward as a forward now these days and everything like that, like, you know. So yeah, like, look, to be honest, like, I love kicking and stuff like that, like, you know. So I'm very happy with today. Yeah,
how special will this now, as we touched on, Chad Dean there is happy behind you as well, spoke to him a little bit earlier on, but you're through to the quarterfinals. That is a big step forward in the football calendar.
Yeah, look, 100%, like, you know, I suppose, like, we've been labelled as kind of like an inconsistent team over the last few years and stuff like that, like, you know. And this year we got promoted, and look, we had one or two blips as well along the way, like every other team, like, you know. But the goal was always to get back to Croke Park. We were up there in the league final. We didn't come out to race out of the result. We got a good taste of it up there, and we knew it full well we wanted to get back there. And look, just delighted now we have an opportunity to go back there in 2 weeks' time.
Perfect. Thanks, Stephen.
Thanks,
we hope the predictions are a bit more accurate in the quarterfinals.
Thanks very much.
Let's hear now from Cork, Ian Maguire.
Ian, what can you say? As results to send tremors into the football championship, I think that is one a huge victory for your side.
Yeah, I suppose from our side of things, we're after a very good year so far, and we got a big win at home against Meath, and we were coming up here full of belief, not hope, and I think that's a very important distinction. And the first half, the way it played out, it was actually a bit cagey. We were kind of relatively happy enough, and Dan O'Mahony was really unlucky with a slip, and that probably separated the two teams. And then coming on into the last 15 minutes, we have huge belief in our ability, but we also have huge belief in the bench, and we knew if the game was getting tight that we'd have that kick there coming in the last 10-15 minutes. And I think our last 5-6 scores were unreal, and that really powered us on. But we came in here with full belief, and we're not surprised by the result, I suppose I'll put it that way. But we know it was a big task coming up here, and we're just delighted with the win ultimately and going into the quarter final now.
Yeah, because it seemed that for large periods it was kind of, there was always that 4 or 5 point gap, but then you got to rally scores, and your one strikes out in memory. Really, there was a moment where the place kind of went quiet and you could see the belief growing in your side.
Yeah, do you know what, it was probably a funny game in the sense of every time we kind of had a positive play, something like a ball might drop short or there might be a turnover or something unlucky like that. So once we kind of got those 2-3 scores in a row, that kind of gave us the momentum that really kicked on it. And I suppose lucky enough it came in the last like 10-12 minutes. But I thought we had a huge performance overall. I thought paying goals, you know, the wind was very blustery, mightn't be there. I don't know what it'd be like obviously in the Sunday game, but you know, it was tricky to get, and we got a lot of primary possession. That'll always keep in the game, and as the game went down, our kick-out press got better and better, and we were getting more hands on ball. But I just thought it was a huge performance, and I think we've been building all year. And I think the Meath game now coming into here, like, we're delighted. A score that really sticks out for me there is Tommy Walsh, a real leader for the team. You know, he got an unbelievable 2-pointer there.
The whole ground was like, "Whoa, has that actually gone over?"
But he's leader of the team, and I suppose with Conor Callan being suspended, like, there was almost this extra incentive to do it for him because he's the main man. He's our leader, like, you know. But I thought there was plenty of other displays of leadership there today. Sean Walsh stepping in, thought he was huge. Thought Sherlock up top, Tosh Shelley in the back, you know, and we're really kind of developing leaders across the pitch.
And to have that arsenal of 2-point shooters from everywhere now, it appears.
Yeah. In fairness, no. I suppose it's something that we would have worked on there for the last 2 years. We have the players to do it, you know, and I suppose the benefit was we had the win there in the second half, and we were able to probably take those extra couple of chances. And we were very unlucky. We had probably 2 or 3 chances in the first half to drop short, but just the nature of the game, we kept fighting, and I thought we had great energy. And in fairness, you know, you could hear the crowd's energy there late in the game. You know, the supporters that made the long journey, in fairness to them, like, really kind of gave us that extra couple of percentage there towards the end.
And at the end then as well, obviously they needed either a 2-pointer or a goal with the flies over the bar with 10 seconds seconds to go, you know you've done it. That must have been a special feeling.
Yeah, I think the last 3 or 4 minutes, the game probably turned into a bit of chaos, but we, funny enough, we probably had 2 chances to ice the game, and we messed up twice. But I think that's just the nature of who we are sometimes, you know. The highs are high and the lows are lows, but I thought we played very well. I thought we were defensively solid all game. I thought they had to really work hard for their scores, and I thought when it came down to a one score at the end, I had full belief that we were going to be able to keep them out, and lucky enough they forced the one pointer, so we were delighted with that.
Through to the quarterfinals now, next weekend off. That's a huge statement.
Yeah, geez, look, it's massive. I suppose coming up here, there was an element, oh, you're going to lose and you're going to be out, 6 day turnaround, but we were coming up here with full ambition to win. And then the benefit obviously is getting to the quarterfinal, but you have that extra week of rest, do a couple of knocks. That was a huge battle there, like, so there's going to be sore bodies, but that extra week of rest, you can't put enough value on it. But I suppose ultimately for us, coming up here, getting a win up the north is huge for the group from a psychological point of view, and gives us great confidence in going into Croke Park.
The flight home will be a bit nicer.
Joe, you're laughing there. We were on about if we scored a goal. Did we score a goal? If we score a goal, then we do the airplane celebration. But the game was a bit too intense now for that. But now we're delighted now, and in fairness to the county board supporting us there, you know, getting that quick journey back. It also helped in the preparation up, you know, if you had a long journey up, obviously it takes its toll. But in fairness, we're all together now, like, and we're all pulling in the right direction.
Congrats, special day.
Super, thanks.
Brilliant stuff there from Ian McGuire. Hopefully the John Cleary and Jim McGuinness audios will come through. We'll see if any kites got flown at Jim's way. From a brilliant victory to a tough loss, and we're still licking our wounds here in Leaside after Cork's loss to Limerick in the Munster final last weekend. And to help me dissect it in studio, our very own Mel Brown. All right, we're delighted to be joined here on the Big Red Bench. Well, by no stranger to the Big Red Bench, Mel Brown, how are you keeping?
Good, and it's weird to be sitting here in studio with you, not over the phone. Something different for Saturday, bro.
It's actually the first time I think this has happened, is it?
Yeah, I think it's our first time meeting.
I think so. Well, we're meeting in I don't know what type of circumstances. Yeah. Limerick do have the Munster title, headed back to Shannon's side, where it ended, of course, in the park. 2-17 to Cork, 1-21 to them. Mel, your thoughts a week after now a game?
A week on, and I'm still not happy. I'm not saying the better team lost, but I'm just saying it was a different game to what we're used to between Cork and Limerick. Like, if you counted how many minutes the ball was in play, I'd say it wasn't even a full half.
The better team won, I would say.
Yeah, definitely the more strategic team anyway, whatever way you want to take that. But like, Cork's big issue again, 1-6 from play, no score hardly in the second half. One, I think it was the goal for Bryce Hayes in 38 minutes. Like, it's getting a small bit concerning, is our lack of just clinical finishing of a game.
Well, there's definitely at times we fail time and time again to play for a full 70 minutes, and while that forward line, and I'll often praise it, is absolutely stacked, Jesus, only one or two of them who really put in a good performance at the weekend. We maybe won't get into names, but I think Dermot Healy had a good game, in fairness to him.
Yeah.
Look, he got the goal. Was he brilliant apart from that? I'm not too sure. It's worrying, I think, was it? From 38 minutes on, we didn't get a score from play, so alarm bells have to be ringing, but alarm bells would have to be ringing in the Limerick camp as well, that this Cork team, as poor enough as they were on that day, only lost that match by a point, which I do find incredible. It was Limerick's poor shooting accuracy that did keep Cork in it, but this, people are so doom and gloom about it. I was even talking to yourself, and you seemed a bit doom about it. Look, let the Limerick fans have their day. Look, planting flags and their fans setting off flares inside in the ground. They think they've already won the final. We will catch them in July. Dara Fitz has to come back into this team. We will not play that badly again.
Definitely not. And like you talked about shooting accuracy there, I think it was Matthew Hurley of Gaelic Sapmans, like, Cork's conversion rate was 83% while Limerick's was 55%. Like, we didn't create as much chances, but the ones we did create, I think we only had about 6 misses all day between frees and from play, whereas Limerick, I don't have the statistic here, but like, it was a lot higher. So I do think, like, there's good things coming in the team. As you said, Fitzgibbon's back, Tommy O'Connell and Mahoney are obviously out for the Offaly game next week, but we'll have them back, touch wood, if we are to beat Offaly. And I think come the 19th of July, if it's ourselves in Limerick, we won't fear them. They won't fear us. We've played them 3 times this year now, obviously down in Limerick in the league. They got the better of us. But we beat them by 4 or 5 points in the park this year in round robin. Lost by a point down one of our probably better players, Sean O'Donoghue, obviously taken off after keeping Aaron Glan scoreless throughout the game after getting a yellow card. So like, I think come Croke Park, we won't fear them.
Glan could never be kept scoreless though, as we all know.
He was. He didn't score.
I know, but what the Limerick fans, the rhetoric surrounding Glan, that he could never, ever be kept scoreless. But in fairness to Sean, he was absolutely incredible. And to be fair, to the Cork defence, and I do have my worries about them at times, I thought they were incredible at the weekend. Same with the Limerick defence. Mm-hmm. I thought the defence has gone on top, and normally it's the forwards who get all the plaudits, but to be fair, that Cork defence stood up really for the most part against Limerick.
Kept them in the game, definitely. Like, our scoring, it was a very low scoring game for a game of hurling. What was it, 121-2?
It was like a game of football in the first half.
Mental. And like, obviously we've seen Nicky Quay get man of the match at the end of the game, but Collins made four amazing saves to keep Cork in that game in the dying minutes. I think it was it Shane O'Brien or Aidan O'Connor coming in the 65th or 66th minute. We were up 2 or 3 points at that stage, and Collins made an amazing save. Like, there were some questions about his puck outs. I was down in Port Cueve in the terrace. The wind, you couldn't, no matter what way he booked it, there was going to be some, like, it was never going to be 100% accurate. And Nicky Quaid was the same. His puck outs weren't going to his.
I just think his tree went out over the line. And then and come from the crowd, and they get on his back. But I think Pat can hold his head high and say he's had a good championship so far this year, and I'm feeling a lot more confident with him in goal. I feel like the nerves can get some more so than maybe an Asher Don Log, but maybe understandable given some set of circumstances. But to be fair to Collins, even his shot stopping, I think, this year has gotten better.
Definitely. And like, I think the abuse he got last year was slightly unwarranted, and this year he's definitely turned around himself. Was it the league? Correct me now if I'm wrong here. Did Ben O'Connor try out a new goalie this year, the first two games of the league?
He did.
At that, like, Pat Collins, obviously alarm bells are going to be somewhat ringing in your head, but he just turned around. And I thought, if Cork had won, he'd have been up there for my man in the match, I think, despite 3 or 4 kind of wayward puck outs.
Yeah, it was Paddy O'Sullivan. Look, well, someone who's talked about after the game anyway, whether it's warranted or not, is James Owen, the referee on the day. I've never seen so much talk around the referee. I think it was Maddie Clerkin, I think. I can't remember what publication he writes for. He went through every single one of his refereeing decisions. And is that bad to be putting on a referee in today's modern world where everyone's so eager to get on each other's backs?
Yeah, I think the amount of talk about him after was unwarranted. Throughout the game, maybe people can say, oh, for God's sake, whatever. But I think it's the media nearly pushing this narrative of the ref more so than the fans. Like, I was walking out of Park Cueve talking to Limerick fans, Cork fans, and everyone said, while he wasn't, we'll say, up to the standard of refereeing we're used to seeing in Championship, he was consistent throughout the game. Like, people were complaining about the lack of Cork freeze. I think we only got 4 less, or we conceded 4 more frees than them. Like, we're on about the penalty there that Limerick should have been given. I'm putting quote marks up here. You don't think it was a penalty?
That was not a penalty. They're whinging about that penalty should have been given for the Will O'Brien. It was different. John Milan in the indoor pod said he saw coming down from the city end, and it was the Bull O'Brien was the one who initiated the contact. And you can clearly see, if he was any more horizontal, looking back, he'd have been tucked up in bed. No, I don't know what they're on about. As well as the one at the end, with the minutes over. Himself coming through, Ralph Wiggum through the window into Tim O'Mahony, and Tim O'Mahony's out with a dead leg now for the next time. For Christ's sake, like, you can't win.
Desperate. Now, I will say, maybe Cork didn't do them some favours at the end of the game. To a fan looking in, if you see 4 or 5 Cork, big Cork lads surrounding James Owens, you're like, what's going on? But Ben and Mark have explained it throughout the media this week at the launch of the All-Ireland Championship. They were just checking. They weren't notified it was the last puck of the game. Someone said it's not their job to ask, but like,
Will O'Donoghue knew.
That's what did Ben O'Connor say? That's good for him. Like, you know, like, I don't know, are Cork meant to be looking up at the time on the board? Like, they're playing a game of hurling, like, they're not going to be checking how much time's gone in the 5 minutes.
And this thing about chatting to the referees as well, that we're not allowed to chat. Will O'Donoghue will be chatting at them all game, but they get a pass because there seems to be some golden boys of hurling.
Yeah.
I don't know. John Kiley's work and Cian Lynch's work in the media paying dividends to Limerick at the weekend. I hope it doesn't happen again. And Ben was wise to it at the end. He said, look, we'll have to work on that and we'll see how things go forward. I expect to hear a lot more from Ben in the media maybe over the next couple of weeks.
Definitely. And one thing I did notice about Cian Lynch throughout the game, anytime anything happened, he'd be straight over to James Owens. Like, I know it's not rugby. We don't need your captain going over every minute to check up and things. Like, I just thought that was a bit much. And the free at the end of the game, like, were Cork silly to play? You think if
they were silly? They were silly.
But was it Coleman? It was Coleman who got the puck of the ball. If he had taken it,
If he let it in, it would have been a low play out, I think. But the better team did win on the day. I don't think we can blame the ref for the result. We can probably feel a small bit hard done by, and it was just that type of game. What did you make of the resulting aftermath and the worst fears of the Limerick fans invading our pitch? Our lovely pitch did happen.
I didn't like it now, Dan, I won't lie, but I thought the worst for me was Darragh O'Donovan, just purely because if any Cork man had done that down in...
planted the flag.
Yeah, no. Ridiculous. I just thought, like, people say, it's only in jest, it's only this, it's only that. It's still slightly disrespectful.
The narrative around that, if it was the other way around in the Gaelic Grounds.
I text Dan straight after the game, I said, this wouldn't happen if it was the other way around. I just thought...
Cork player be slayed from high heaven and the resulting riot that would have ensued afterwards.
Yeah, we'd have been called arrogant, ignorant, every name under the sun, but I think sometimes... people just don't like Cork. I think that's the issue here. We can complain about it, but right. People don't like Cork, like, winning. Not that we win much anyway. Like, we win one Munster final, what, in
they're jealous
years.
Of our fan base, and they're jealous that they could never replicate Premier League capacity stadiums every single week in, week out.
Yeah.
And, look, we don't want to be lifting the best fans trophy again this year. We want to be lifting the Liam McCarthy.
That's
and
it.
We're still in it to win it. Darragh O'Donovan... He went too early with the flag. He has to be careful because, as I know from social media down the years, you don't go too early. That is going to come back to bite him on July the 19th. Yeah. I know it is. Where else are we going to go here? Nicky Quaid, what type of performance did you think he had?
I thought he was good. Now, I won't lie. What did he make? 4 or 5 saves throughout the game. His puck out's quite good. Like, he probably is the best goalie we've seen in the modern game. And I think... he proved it on Sunday. Like,
I probably think he's the best goalkeeper of all time. Again, I was saying I wasn't really around for the Fitzhenry era. A lot of people would applaud him as the best goalkeeper, but Quaid, for me, I think he has to be right up there, if not the best. Any other takeaways from the match that you want to get to?
Not really. I think maybe going to be touched on is O'Donoghue keeping Gillan scoreless. That was just a massive one for me. And just obviously next game against Offaly, sold out game once again, 15 in a row. But we are down Tommy O'Connell and Timo Mahoney.
I know. But look, we can talk about numbers and our support. The only one that does matter is Liam McCarthy, unfortunately, in July. I think we're actually better said. We have a nice one now against Offaly. You're getting Darragh Fitz back into the fold as well, so he's not coming in cold into a semi-final against Galway, which it would be. What are you expecting from Offaly? Like, 1-40, Cork? He's extremely disrespectful, in my opinion. They put more of a game to us than people think, I'd say.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be a tip-top handy game that people are expecting. Like, we saw what happened to Limerick last year in the quarterfinal when they got too cocky. Like, I do think we have to have a level of respect for Offaly, but, like, you'd be hoping 7-8 points. I don't think Offaly will lie down. I think Turles will suit them. I think the style of hurling we play will suit them, but I would think, like, if Cork aren't coming out there with, like, a 7-8 point win, I would be slightly worried for the Galway game, truthfully.
Galway in a semi, how do you view that one? I think they'll set up in a way that we don't like either, which won't be any harm if we are to win the All-Ireland.
Yeah, I do think, I said it on the Saturday before the Munster final, I do think it's the easier route, no disrespect to either teams, but you can never, like, Leinster teams do have an easier route to All-Irelands. They've had a lot handier games, a lot less injuries. Like, we've seen, is it the training or the games we're playing, but, like, Munster teams are just getting a lot more injuries, so I do think that Galway game...
Clare or Dublin could catch Limerick too, like.
Yeah, you think if Clare got one more crack at Limerick in semi-final, like, the hurt they've had in Munster finals in recent years, like, that will just drive them on. They've slipped through Munster. They've been no talk of them, and now they're one game away from a semi-final against Limerick. They're probably biggest rivals. The one team they can't overcome, they won't lie down easily, like.
Right, well, we'll have to wait and see in the coming weeks. Mel, lovely to have you in studio and meet for the first time.
Thanks, Dan.
Yeah, thanks to Mel.
Lovely stuff.
Yeah, thanks a million. Thanks a million to Mel for joining me earlier on the definitely unbiased Big Red Bench. Going for halftime now, but be sure to stay with us as we have an interview with Cork Hurling Vice Captain Mark Coleman coming, as well as hearing about charity initiative Gaelic for Good. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Red FM. Dan Casey here with you. And still no sign of those John Cleary or Jim McGuinness interviews after the famous Cork football win up in Ballybuffet. 17 points to 113, it finished. But hopefully we'll get them out before we depart ways at 7. But we look ahead to next week. And of course, Cork hurlers take on Offaly in Thurles. And here to look ahead is Cork vice captain Mark Holman.
Mark, just on the refereeing as well at the weekend. As a defender, would you have to really adapt halfway through the game to what the referee is doing?
I think so. You have to be able to adapt everything, whether it's conditions or anything like that. You know, maybe we should have realised that we were doing a bit too much fouling in the last game, and you know, change the way we were playing. Maybe stand off a bit more. Look, there's dangers to that as well, obviously, when you're playing a good team. So maybe we just have to look at ourselves and work on our tackling.
Defensively, you must be very happy with how it went, you know, especially probably, you know, Sean O'Donoghue keeping Aaron Gillan scoreless in Munster Championship.
Yeah, I suppose we were happy, but I think it was a game early that was set up for defences to play well. the fact that, you know, the ball was coming in, it was hitting the ground and it was skidding, and it was very easy to kind of spoil possession, and it was hard for forwards to get on the ball. You could see that there were probably very few forwards shot the lights out or got in a lot of possession or anything like that. It was probably a day for the backs, which was good for us, I suppose.
But you still managed to get forward yourself, you know, scoring a penalty and denied by a spectacular save by Nicky Wade, in fairness. You seem to be really relishing getting up the field as well this year.
Yeah, look, it's very rare that I get up the pitch like that. I'd say I haven't taken too many shots on goal, so it was a bit of a surprise for myself to be up there. But yeah, it was a fantastic save from Nicky Quaid, and you know, he met them all there, to be fair.
Just in terms of the penalties, it's unusual enough that you take them. We've got a couple of free takers, you know, you have Tim taking the fair ones, Aaron Connolly taking. What is it about penalties that you like taking so much?
I don't know, to be honest. It just, you know, I just landed on being the penalty taker, to be fair. Maybe it was against Waterford, Allen had missed one, and then, I don't know, he just was probably the next man up, really, who was on the pitch at the time. So I was just happy enough to step up, and glad to see him hit the back of the net, really, is it?
And it's been noted that after Brian Hayes' goal in the 38 minutes, Cork didn't score from play. Be a bit of a worry, especially echoes maybe of the All-Ireland final last year?
I don't think it's a worry. I think, you know, we obviously, the conditions were so different, and it was hard to get the ball up the pitch. I think, you know, we still obviously, we won a lot of possession up there and were able to generate a couple of frees, which was very different to the All-Ireland final last year. But I wouldn't be too concerned about it, to be fair.
And just, we'll have to ask you again about the free towards the end. You were involved in it, receiving the ball from Collins. Did you ask the referee how much was left? Was there any communication there on the field?
No, I don't think, it wasn't a matter of time. I just thought we were under the impression, I suppose, that we had maybe one play left or something like that, and that we'd get the opportunity to work a score. But George James, the ref obviously had to get up and be where the ball was landing, so it's fair enough that he didn't tell us, or that we weren't able to ask him, so we probably just weren't aware of the situation. But I don't think, like, we were so far back that if the ball was going to be landing in the square no matter what, it was going to be blown up. So I think it's a bit of a nutting blind, really.
It's been said about provincial finals recently that, you know, all that matters to this team is the All-Ireland, and that Munster is secondary. But by the reactions of the Limerick players, we saw how important provincial finals are at the weekend, aren't they?
Massive, yeah, sure. We were when you're growing up, you mostly go to all the Munster Championship games when you're younger, up in Turles and around Park and Keeve and stuff like that. So you want to be winning Munster Championships, and when you're in the final, especially on the day, you want to go out and win. So we're probably disappointed to be on the wrong side of it.
And Offaly now in Turles in 2 weeks' time, who, you know, quarterfinal stage, it's always a slippery one, and they might be seeing this as a bit of a free shot.
100%, yeah. You'd expect them to be going, you know, they've had a fantastic year, and you'd expect them to be full of confidence and throw everything at us. And, you know, we have to move on very quickly now from the Munster final and get ready for that, because I'm sure they're going to be a difficult task for us.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Just Mark, very quickly, obviously, you've been around the Cork senior hurling team for a while. It's your first All-Ireland, though, under Ben O'Connor. Is there any sort of changes you've noticed so far?
Not a whole pile. I think that's one of Ben's strengths, is that he was able to just kind of seamlessly come in and take over from last year's management. I think he leaves a lot of responsibility to the players as well, which is great. And you know, there's probably a lot of continuity from the last couple of years that we can bring forward. And then obviously he brings a couple of points himself that he wants to add in. So yeah, that's it.
Obviously, last year you went into the All-Ireland series as Munster champions and league champions. This year it's the opposite. Limerick are obviously Munster champions, league champions. Does this take pressure off you, or do you think it actually adds more pressure?
I wouldn't see it either way, to be honest. I think we're just grateful to be still in the championship. When you start out at the start of the year, you know, to get through the Munster championship is a task in itself, or the Leinster championship. So just to be one of the three coming out of that is massive. We would have loved to win the Munster championship, but look, we're still there anyway with a fighting chance, and we're just glad to be in the quarterfinal.
Look, I have to ask this as a Cork man, but I'm sure you've seen the Darragh O'Donovan sort of having his Graham Souness moment after. Has that been something that's been maybe thrown around a few WhatsApp groups?
No, I haven't seen it yet. Anyway, I only came across it briefly on Twitter, but look, they're well entitled to go celebrate and do what they want to do. We were doing similar stuff up in the Gaelic grounds last year, and it's all part of winning, so you have to say they're more than entitled to celebrate whatever way they want.
And obviously, just look at the All-Ireland series, you have Offaly now with the potential Galway in the semi-final, but how important is it you just don't stay complacent, or you don't get complacent, because obviously we saw what happened last year when Limerick played Dublin.
Yeah, look, there'll be no issue with complacency. All-Ireland quarterfinals are always going to be difficult. It's knockout hurling. But look, we just have to focus on ourselves and make sure that we're right, and hopefully we'll get over the line.
And just finally, obviously, as I said, you're one of the sort of more experienced players. How is that sort of in that experience role? I know you're a captain obviously before, but obviously you've been filling in for Dara the last few weeks, but especially now when you've got a lot of new players who maybe weren't playing last year in the All-Ireland series.
Yeah, I suppose, look, that's it's great to have new fellas coming through the whole time. As one of the more experienced fellas, you just have to look, just make sure fellas are okay, and just make sure training's going well and stuff like that. But we're fortunate enough that we have a group of players there that, you know, a lot of fellas that have been there for 5, 6, 7, 8 years. So we've a good old core group of players there, and the young fellas that came in through, they're all, a lot of them are after success at under 20 level. They know what it takes to play at the top level as well. So we're lucky with the group of players we have.
And just very finally, obviously your 11th year now in Cork senior hurling. Do the nerves and excitement ever change for the All-Irelands?
Nah, you'd always be excited going out and nervous playing in front of full houses, big crowds. It's always going to be exciting. So hopefully it'll stay that way for a long time.
Best luck Sunday week. Thanks.
And that was Cork vice captain Mark Coleman there speaking to Harry Hayden and Rachel Sheehan of Off the Ball. And here we have Offaly's Killian Sampson speaking to Rachel Sheehan at the launch of the Ireland Hurling Championship.
Had a disappointing league campaign. Was there a moment before you headed into the Leinster Championship where you almost had to regroup and change what you were doing, or did you always know that it was going to go on an upward trajectory?
No, I don't think we turned around and changed anything that we were doing, but we knew after, obviously we've been building something since last probably December or January, and it probably only started paying off in the Leinster Championship, but we just probably knew that from the league there was even going to be another step up to Leinster Championship, and now the Leinster Championship is over, there's going to be another step up again to Ireland Series, so we're conscious of that, and we just probably know that within our own group. So we just had to refocus after the league, kind of knuckle back down again, and it was great to have an opportunity 2 weeks after we played Cork in our last group game to have the Dublin game coming around, and then the Galway game after it very quickly. So we were just lucky that we had another opportunity, and obviously we kind of pushed on and got a few kind of points on the board as well to keep us safe, and then gave us the opportunity to get to the All-Ireland Series.
And a really great Leinster campaign, getting the draw against Kilkenny for the first time since the 1940s. What was it like on the pitch that day?
Yeah, it was kind of a strange one. Most of us wouldn't even known that, you know, like it's not something that we'd ever even be thinking about and stuff like that, you know. Offaly's a very historic hurling county and there's great tradition there, but we're only focusing on ourselves and our own group, and we obviously want to create our own bit of history as well, and hopefully that's something that can happen in the next few weeks, you know, and we can go and push on to that next level.
Word was filtering through then that Dublin had done the job for you as well to keep you in the All-Ireland quarterfinal. Did you ever think you'd have been shouting for the Dubs?
No, I never thought it, in fairness, but yeah, it was great. Obviously our game finished in Newbridge maybe a minute or two before the Dublin game finished, so we were just hearing there was supporters just flocking onto the field, and they had the phones out and they were watching, and then they were saying, Dublin, they're 7 up, do you have it, but obviously you can't celebrate until the final whistle or till it's over. But obviously we got back into the dressing room, and then kind of we were coming back out, and you were able to actually have a moment or two with your family and your friends and stuff as well, because they're the ones that support you the most. But yeah, there were special times to know that we would be in the last six, like, so yeah, it was great to get that opportunity.
Halfway through the season as well, you lose Charlie Mitchell. He comes back, gives a man of the match performance, and then unfortunately loses out through injury. How big of a loss is he to the dressing room, and how does that impact you then having to stand up?
Yeah, look, Charlie's a massive loss, our captain this year, and he's such a leader, even at the young age of 22, like, you know, massive character, massive leader, and yeah, obviously his hurling is unbelievable, like everybody knows that around the country. He's one of our best players and our biggest talents, like, so he was a massive loss. We're just very lucky that Charlie's okay now and he's recovering and stuff, and that's the main thing, and just puts it into perspective. So hopefully if we can kind of go and replicate what Charlie would have done, even like, and what he done in the opening the games against kind of Kilkenny, Dublin and Galway, like if we can go and bring patches of what he's able to do next Sunday, we'll be doing alright.
And just on that game against Cork, have you played in Turles before?
Just once or twice, not in a big game or anything like this, no.
Will you be looking forward to it?
Yeah, look, I can't wait. Turles is only over the road from us. We're used to going to the Munster Championship there in the weekend, like, you know, and going over watching. It's only half an hour from us, so it's going to be massive, like, huge occasion, massive support for both teams, and yeah, can't wait, to be honest with you.
Great to get to watch the Munster final at the weekend. Would you have learned anything from seeing how Limerick set up now against that Cork team?
Look, you'd learn a small bit, but every game is different, takes on a life of its own. You see the conditions there last weekend, I'm sure both Cork and Limerick would have had to adapt it to that with their puckouts, their styles of play and stuff, like, so look, we'll have to go off, and obviously you'll do a small bit on Cork, but most of it we're just going to have to look after ourselves and look after our performance and try find a good performance for 70-75 minutes.
And yeah, that was Killian Sampson of Offaly. Looking forward to the Cork versus Offaly this coming Sunday. Earlier today, it was a pleasure to be joined in studio by Simon Healy and Jake Keating of Gaelic for Good, a brilliant charity initiative who took time from their hectic training schedule to speak to me in studio today. All right, we have two very special guests here on the Big Red Bench this evening. We have Simon Healy and Jake Keating in with us. Simon, we'll start with yourself. We're on about a charity football match, Gaelic for Good. I'm playing in it. I'm delighted to be a part of it. But can you tell us how it came to be in the first place?
Yeah, of course. So, started all actually when I was working as a mechanic. I just got sick of it. Was working. And what I do on my day-to-day, I usually help people. I do student road rescue. And we do free breakdowns for students. So I was always doing bits and pieces of charity. Originally from Mayo. We are obsessed with football. So combined to do together. And we started Gaelic for Good. So what Gaelic for Good is we have a large panel of social media influencers. And what they do is they individually choose a charity that means something to them. And they play a Gaelic football match. Now, matches up in Dublin. I know, for Cork people, not the best.
But it's not going to go down well.
No, not going to go down well at all. But August the 8th, it's absolutely brilliant. And we have one of our players with us. It's players of all mixed skill levels. So we have Jake here.
Hi, guys.
Jake, what's your background in Gaelic football and are you looking forward to it?
So the last time I played Gaelic football, or should I say the only time, was at one of my friend's birthday parties in primary school, and I tucked the ball under my shirt and ran. So it's fair to say I'm not the best at it, but I'll pick it up.
Well, we did a bit of training there. How do you think you got on? We had a bit of training in the Corraheen pitch outside.
Do you know, I got good with the hop solo and the hand pass, so I have the basics down to a T, so...
Exactly. That's all you need now.
Simon, why was it important for you to bring in people with, you know, mixed abilities of football? And like, we have inter-county players and people who've never kicked up Gaelic football before.
100%. So obviously there is a large mix and a demographic also of the genders. But it's very important, simple as, because there's a lot of people who are, especially in their 20s, that will see their friends playing and they've never picked up a ball in their life. And they'll feel intimidated. They won't want to sign up themselves to go to play Gaelic football or sign up for a club. So it's more than important that they're given an opportunity to say, look, it's probably your first time around playing Gaelic football. Here's an experience. If you like it, we hope that you would spread on Gaelic football across all your platforms. Because a lot of these people, they have platforms that are from England, America, Australia, the whole world over. And it is very important to spread our Irish sport worldwide.
On the charity front, how many charities have we signed up with us so far?
So far, we're at the 16 mark. That's divided into our panel. So obviously, there is a bit of overlap where some people would choose the same charities. But individually, out of the best ones we have, that is one based here in Cork, is Autism Assistant Dogs Ireland. They're absolutely brilliant. They joined us at our charity gala in Dublin. They do very, very important work all across the Cork region and Ireland, so we're very happy to have them on board.
For fans of Love Island, we have a very special participant as well this year. Do you want to tell us who it is?
Well, we have a certain fella who has recently dyed his hair blonde. We have Fitzy on board. Absolutely brilliant man. We can have nothing bad to say about him. He signed up for Gaelic for Good. He's playing on the white team, Clann na Blaha. And it's very, very exciting to have him down.
Will the intercounty lads be taking it easy on the lowly footballers such as myself, or what way is that going to go?
Now, they've been encouraged to take it very, very easy on themselves. But again, it's a bit of a game and everyone wants a bit of entertainment. So we'll see what happens. But sure, nothing too crazy.
Where do you hope Gaelic for Good can go throughout the next few years? I mean, we're starting off at this point, but... Where do you think it can end up, hopefully?
Hopefully it's just it gets on a national and international level where people are able to see Gaelic for Good for what it is. They see those people coming together to actually raise money for various funds for even the smaller charities that don't get recognised. But from a sports point of view, we'd love to see Gaelic more spread out worldwide. So if this helps, even though it might just be a tiny little Gaelic match, all the difference.
Jake, you're playing for Team Gael Force. But tell us a bit about your charity. We have, well, every player for a different cause written on it at the moment, but hopefully it'll be your sponsor on the day. Can you tell us a bit about your own charity?
Yeah, so the charity that I actually went for is the Bone Marrow Trust. The main reason I decided to choose this charity is because one of the main things they do is they look after people with leukemia. And a couple of years ago, I lost my granddad to leukemia, so I just think it kind of suits me in that kind of sense. And I'm really looking forward to representing them.
Well, it's great that everyone can have their own personal story. I'm sure everyone's been affected by something in some way or another. Simon, is there any more events coming that people can expect to see? When can people find you on socials anyway? I presume, hopefully across all the influencers that you have anyway.
100%. So, first point, we'll say socials. You can see us on TikTok. It's just Gaelic, the number 4, good. Instagram, Gaelic for Good. And events we have upcoming in 2027, now the venue is to be confirmed, we have our first ever charity awards. So we celebrate people in 3 categories. We celebrate people in sports, in charity and social media. So that's coming up, should be around April 3rd, 2027. It's not just open for people involved in Gaelic for Good, it's people involved in all areas of sports. That could be soccer, Gaelic football, hurling, rugby, it doesn't matter what it is, especially if it's someone who's working at club level, they work like a dog and they don't get recognition for it. So if anyone has anyone that they want to nominate, it could be a parent, uncle, absolutely anyone, a neighbour, brilliant, nominate them for the award up in 2027, and they'll win a nice one out of it.
The big match, I mean, you hear about All-Ireland Finals today, but it doesn't get much bigger than Gaelic for Good, really, when it comes to... Where is the... I know you said Dublin. Yeah. Where's the match? What date? What time? Can people buy tickets? Where's 100%. The money going?
Yeah, so St. Peregrine's, absolutely brilliant GAA club to be dealing with. Big thanks to Gavin out there. But St. Peregrine's up in Dublin, just a wee bit outside Blanchardstown. The venue time is to be confirmed. However, the tickets, they will be up on sale. We're hoping to aim for in and around 2 weeks' time and 8th of August. So everyone will hope to see you there. I know it's a bit of a travel from Cork, but it's...
Well, I'd be there anyway, and you recruited your presenter Emer there outside a second ago, so you're you're getting teams built up the whole time.
The whole time.
Brilliant stuff. Well, lads, delighted to have you in studio. And you want to sign off with our what's it called?
Yeah.
1-2 Shimmy series is on the way on TikTok. That's all I'll say.
Have to find out what it is first.
They'll
anyway.
Have to find out. Do your research.
I've still been looking for the 1-2 Shimmy series. The Cleary audio finally came in. So here's John Cleary speaking to Jonathan Higgins after the game.
John, smiles all around, but it is a fantastic victory for your side today here in Donegal.
Absolutely, yeah. Look, when the draw was made, everyone said it was a draw from hell. But look, you know, we got our heads down and we said, look, it's just another pitch, it's just another team. Donegal were excellent in Killarney. But we've sometimes there, if you're off a big victory, that it's not maybe to, you know, maybe they got a small bit complacent or whatever. But we felt that we needed to be in the game coming down the home straight if we could at all, and we felt if we were, we'd have savage hunger, and I think, you know, that's the way it panned out today.
Look, obviously the victors can write the history books and all that, but the game plan, you must be so pleased how it worked.
Yeah, look, I think, you know, game plans are one thing and they can go out the window, breaking the ball one way or the other. You know, we had a good game plan in Killarney as well, and we were told we were absolute rubbish, you know, so you know, so look, some days it goes for you. A lot depends on what's inside the shirt of guys, and you know, I thought we had showed great heart and showed great determination coming down the home straight today.
Obviously, given the logistics, the place is 3/4, even 5/8 of the home support, but you got to quieten that crowd halfway through, your pocket support started making noise, and you really grew into that game.
Yeah, as I said, look, I referenced inside to the lads there that you know, it was great to give our football supporters a fantastic day out. You know, we knew all the lads there nearly by name that have followed us the length and breadth of the country, and the last couple of years, in good days and in bad days. And look, thanks be to God, this year we've had more good days than bad days. And but as I said, for those supporters, it was absolutely fantastic. And you know, the joy we saw gave them, you know, with this victory, we're very, very pleased about that.
Was there any particular moment in that second half when you got on the run that you thought this might happen here?
Yeah, I think maybe Tommy Walsh's 2-pointer was a huge one. You know, it came from you know, turnover, I think, in back. And we, you know, and Tommy was going outside of the foot, and I'm blue in the face from telling him not to shoot at the outside of the foot. But look, you know, there was a bit of a breeze behind him and got over the, you know, I think that was a big turning point in the game, yeah.
Obviously, the two pointers, you know, you got a significant amount of them today. The tally, I don't have the top of my head here, but you got a good few. They're big moments in the game.
Sure, absolutely. Like the modern game, you can be 7 or 8 points down, and next day, a couple of two pointers, and you get the momentum. And I felt that's what happened. And we, you know, we kept going at them. I felt we didn't, even when we got a point or two up, we didn't hold back. We went to make it three, and we should have made it three. And I thought we defended heroically the whole game. And I think, to, you know, in the modern game, how do they score 113, 114, you know, maybe 115? I think a lot of our heroes were in defence today, you know.
The route now opens up a little bit for you. You have next weekend off from a games point of view. You're through to the quarter final. It's a huge step forward.
Yeah, absolutely. But as I said, look, the lads inside, we've nothing won yet. We'll enjoy this evening. But it's down to brass tacks. We have a week off tomorrow, next week. But we've got to use that. We've got to work. And we know there's every day you go out, teams will be sniping at us now. We'll be up there to be shot at, like just like we're doing all today. And we'll take nothing for granted. We've nothing won yet. But we are looking forward to going back to Croke Park in 2 weeks' time.
Thank you very much, Sean. Best of luck. No, Jen, thank you.
Yeah, thanks a million for joining me here on the Big Red Bench. That was John Cleary speaking after a brilliant day for Cork Gaelic football. Dan Casey signing off. Marty Guilfoyle is on the way next.
The Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.